Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Realm Between, Two Brothers, by Phoenix Gray. Narrated by Neil Heligers. Prologue. Earth. September 8th, 2057. It was a horrible sound. The sound that no parent ever wants to hear when they're sitting at the hospital clutching their unconscious son's hand. Flatline. One long beep that means it's all over. That the hours spent hoping and praying were fruitless. That whatever Radical Interactive had done to their son had failed. Panic set in. Both parents stared at Will in complete shock. Mrs. Galvin had already begun chanting the word no. Will's father's gaze jumped between his son's body and the machine that was signaling his death. This could not be real. The room filled with sorrow like a noxious gas, choking the devastated couple out. Mr. Galvin was a man of few emotions, but this was just too much. While there had been no sign of Will waking in the 19 days since he'd been in the hospital, there had also been no decline in his health. This just didn't make any sense. It was too sudden. A nurse walked in, the sight before her making her stop in her tracks, her hand moving up to her chest in sympathy. Her lips opened to speak, but then she decided against it and walked out of the room. Minutes later, she returned with both the doctor and Michael Coleman at her side. The doctor immediately went to offer his condolences and then check the machines before pronouncing a time of death. Mr. Coleman, Radical Interactive's medical director of the Realm Project, couldn't force such sympathies. He wasn't well-versed in dealing with grieving families, even though he'd been through this dozens of times before. The Realm was far from perfect. More often than not, the participants didn't survive. Though it was against company policy to tell the parents and spouses that, it was bad enough that they knew this was an experiment. Another failure, he thought. Though he couldn't place if it was disappointment or remorse that he was feeling. No doubt Will would have died long ago if they hadn't put him in the realm. The implant that carried the game was stimulating parts of his brain that otherwise would have laid dormant in his unconsciousness. But Radical Interactive wasn't just trying to achieve a medical miracle. After suffering such harsh criticism for their initial failed launch of the realm, they wanted to strike back with a game that was leagues ahead in technological advancement, a level of psychological immersion so intense that the player could no longer tell if the world was real or not. That required tapping into parts of the brain that no gaming company had dared to venture into before because of the high risk of damage. No one would dare test this stuff on a healthy human being, even if they volunteered for it. But one that was as good as dead? Well, that cut through a lot of red tape. If the player survived, it was a miracle and a success. But if they died, what did it matter? They were already expendable. Maybe that's why it was so hard for Michael to look at these people as people anymore. They would likely be dead otherwise. Now, they were just test subjects. What happened to him? He's been doing fine all this time, Mr. Galvin asked, clearly distraught. I don't know. This just happens sometimes, Mr. Coleman lied. How could he possibly tell the man that his son had been murdered by a demon? It would spark outrage, and more questions than Mr. Coleman felt like dealing with. To be honest, the initial cause of Will's coma, slamming his temple against the edge of a kitchen counter, would have been a much better way to go. If you don't see death coming, you can't really be afraid of it. No one wants to hear that their child felt sheer terror before they met their demise. And while not the scariest thing that Radical Interactive had conjured up for the realm, demons were pretty high on the list. As soon as the nurse had come to report that Will had flatlined, Mr. Coleman had put in a call to his visual team back at Radical Interactive, the people who monitored the live feed being projected from the implant. The information on William Galvin's death would then be relayed back to multiple departments in Radical Interactive. The developmental department would start tweaking the game slightly to increase survivability, while the medical team would analyze the spikes in Will's brain activity to try to isolate the actual cause of death. Every deceased player had a purpose in modifying the game. The doctor held up his wrist comp and tapped it to access William's file. "Time of death is exactly 9 o'clock in the morning." Mrs. Galvin bellowed from the announcement. The nurse walked over to shut off the machines, her eyes staring at the lifeless body to avoid having to look at the grieving parents. Death was an uncomfortable thing for everyone involved. Just as her finger touched the button to kill the insufferable beeping, William Galvin inhaled a breath with such force that his chest puffed up and his body jerked. The entire room seemed to jump from the unexpectedness of seeing a dead body suddenly come back to life. Then Will began to cough, violently. The machines beeped, his heart rate racing critically fast. It was the most activity they'd seen from him since he had been brought in. The doctor rushed to Will's side, taking a stethoscope from around his neck to give Will's chest a listen. "It's like he's choking on water," he said. All they could do was watch and wait for Will to either stabilize or fall back into death.
"Will, baby, I'm here,"
Mrs. Galvin told her son as she clutched his hand, standing by the side of the bed and brushing his hair away from his face.
"We're here."
She looked back at her husband, her pale blue eyes alight with hope. Mr. Coleman's wrist comp buzzed. He stepped to the corner of the room to take the call. On the other end of the line was Will's visual supervisor. They exchanged a few words, and then Mr. Coleman ended the call, a grin spreading across his face. By the time he turned and looked back over at the hospital bed, Mr. Galvin was walking towards him. For someone who had just gotten his son back, he didn't look happy. If Mr. Coleman was a smaller man, he might be intimidated, but he was well trained to handle hostile family members. It was just part of the job.
"What's happening to him? What did you do?"
Mr. Galvin's voice was almost accusing. Mr. Coleman patted him on the shoulder, gazing past him at Will.
"I didn't do anything.
It appears that William's story isn't over just yet." Chapter 1. The Realm. Day 28.
"This has been bothering me for a while." It was an awkward conversation. A conversation that would most likely start an argument, which is why it was essential to wait until Lionel was asleep. They had just changed guarding duty. Azure had engineered it so that it would be his turn after Lionel's. That way, Lionel would still be asleep when it was time for him to confront Udin. Part of him wondered if it was even worth bringing up when they were all stressed out from the idea of having faced such a fearsome foe as the demon. But nothing would be dumber than wandering into a dark cave with someone who was secretly your enemy. It was difficult for Azure to believe that was the case, though. While the half-imp might not give two shits if Azure died, he cared about his brother.
"What's up?" Udin asked as he stretched.
No doubt the half-imp was more refreshed than Azure. While he and his brother had gotten to sleep for 6 hours straight, Azure's sleep had been chopped in the middle thanks to taking the center shift. It was the shift that no one ever wanted, something they often rotated for the sake of fairness.
"When the goblins had me captive and I was walking through their settlement, I noticed something."
There was no tactful way to approach this topic without sounding accusing.
"Do you remember the cook from the goblin camp? The one with the bite on its collarbone? It ran away when we attacked, and you were supposed to have gone after it and killed it?"
"Yeah?"
Udin dragged the word out, shifting his weight.
"What about it?"
"It was at the settlement,"
Azure told him with as much certainty as he could muster.
"Which means you didn't kill it. Which means you lied," he said pointedly.
The half-imp huffed and rolled his eyes.
Do you really think I'd be so stupid as to let it live? I told you I hunted it down, and I did. Whatever goblin you saw at the settlement was not the same one.
He waved Azure's assertion away. Azure cocked an eyebrow, not willing to drop the subject.
I'm about 99% sure it was the same goblin. I haven't seen any other goblins with bite marks on their neck.
Then you haven't been looking, Udin insisted. I've seen plenty.
There were also cooks, he prodded.
The half-imp's entire body sulked with annoyance.
You are just determined not to trust me. Why would I let it go if I knew it was just going to go tell the others? That would put me in danger as well, and I don't like being in danger.
That was a laughable statement, considering how much danger Udin had put them all in by mounting a surprise attack on the goblin camp when they were clearly outnumbered. The half-imp was nothing if not a thrill-seeker, it seemed.
You tell me.
Azure crossed his arms. Udin snorted.
Are you trying to say that I'm somehow in cahoots with the goblins?
That's not what I'm saying. I don't know what's going on. I just know that the same goblin that was at the camp was also at the settlement, and that you lied and said you had killed it. If you would stop lying and explain shit to me, then maybe I would understand.
There's nothing to explain.
The half-imp threw his arms up in frustration.
I said I killed the goblin. I killed the goblin. I'm sorry your eyes deceived you. I don't know what else you want me to say, but this conversation is starting to piss me off.
Udin seated himself heavily by the fire, his jaw set with stress. Azure sighed. He had known they would argue about this, but he hadn't expected to get nowhere. For the briefest of moments, Azure wondered if Udin was telling the truth, if he had just been imagining things. But then he brushed the thought away. It was the same goblin. He knew it was. There had to be some reason why Udin was lying. Maybe he was embarrassed by his failure and hadn't wanted Lonel to know. Still, killing the goblin had been important, not just for them but for Cragbell's safety and the safety of Udin's parents. It was hard to believe that he wouldn't have gone above and beyond to find and kill the goblin unless there was some ulterior motive.
Go to sleep, the half-imp told him, giving Azure a look that would suggest he might want to sleep with one eye open tonight. We still have a full day's journey before we reach the cave. It'll be no good to us if you're not rested.
Azure half expected to see a notification that his relationship level with Udin had dropped. They definitely weren't on good terms right now, and he felt uneasy in the half-imp's presence. Maybe the points only went one way. If Udin wasn't an NPC, he definitely would have gotten the notification on his end. I have to trust him, Azure told himself as he bedded down. When we're in that cave with the Dark One, my safety will be partially in his hands. As he closed his eyes for sleep, he wondered if he was being naive. Not surprisingly, sleep didn't come easily. For most of what was left of the night, Azure tossed and turned, replaying the events of when he and the half-imp had been searching for the Dark One alone. The way Udin had insisted that they hadn't been walking in circles when they obviously were. How he had suggested that they split up when they found the three goblins. But most of all, trying to match up the cook from the camp to the cook from the settlement. Admittedly, Azure wasn't the most observant person. He couldn't count the number of times that Sheila had changed her hair and he hadn't even noticed. But Azure sure remembered the earful he received after every occurrence. You'd think that would have made him more observant, but he seemed to be selective when it came to what he considered to be small details. Maybe he was wrong. Perhaps it had been a different goblin. But what were the odds? The morning came way too soon. It was like Azure had just closed his eyes, and then he was being shaken awake again. His body felt extra heavy from the lack of sleep, but that had never stopped them from pressing on before. Now that they were all partied up again, Udin wasn't being his usual lazy self. He barely looked at Azure as they ate breakfast before setting off into the forest,
clearly still sore about last night's accusations. After having traveled together for so long, the silence between the men had become a normal, natural thing. Today it was filled with tension, though, at least on Azure's end. He still wanted to talk about the goblin, but what was there left to be said? Uden would just continue to deny it. Lionel would likely take his brother's side. Then they'd all be upset. Besides, having an argument when they had already entered into goblin territory definitely wasn't a good idea. It was best to just drop the subject and pray that the half-imp hadn't been lying. By the time they reached the river that led up to the demon's cave, Azure had leveled up his archery and stealth skills to 3 just from all of the hunting he had done on their journey. While leveling his archery skill didn't provide a bonus, he gained a 3% damage bonus while stealthed. It was now clear to him that the bonus went up by 1 point for every level increase. At least that's how it seemed to work. His fear of the demon had mostly subsided, though Azure certainly wasn't looking forward to seeing it again. Having his friends beside him helped to abate most of his dread. There was strength in numbers, and he knew he wouldn't be the creature's sole focus once they finally encountered it. They met at the river where Azure had washed ashore and made the arduous climb upstream. He was surprised to find that it was only about a quarter mile to the waterfall he had tumbled down after he had escaped from the Dark One. Azure hadn't drifted far. In fact, he was so close that it wouldn't have been much for the demon to have come after him. That meant the creature hadn't even bothered. Perhaps this was like other games he'd play where if you ran out of a boss's range, it stopped giving chase. While he was certainly grateful, that seemed like an archaic concept to him. The Dark One had traveled much farther to reach the goblin settlement and retrieve him. It would have taken less effort to follow the river. But perhaps it had just assumed that he'd washed further downstream, or maybe that he had died from the fall and was no longer worth pursuing. It needed a live sacrifice, after all. They diverted from the waterfall to find a less steep climb up to where the demon's cave resided, joining back with the river once they had ascended. It wasn't long before the companions came upon the small bend that revealed the entrance to the cave. Lionel stopped and immediately backed up, causing Uden to bump into him.
"What is it?" the half-imp whispered.
"Goblins," Lionel told them. It had become a familiar word that spiked both excitement and anxiety in Azure.
"How many?"
"2 at the mouth of the cave, guarding it. Both warriors."
"Did they see you?"
Uden's hand was already reaching for his dagger.
"I'm not sure, but I don't think so."
Lionel stepped back a few more feet before stopping and grabbing his staff.
"Did you have time to analyze them?"
"I didn't," he shook his head. "But they are big."
They stood there in near silence for several moments, listening for approaching footsteps the best they could with the sound of the rushing river in the background. Azure's heart drummed in his chest, adrenaline pumping through him as he carefully drew his sword. It was disconcerting not to know the strength of their foes. The urge to peer around the bend was great, but Azure knew well enough from his first journey here with the demon that there wasn't much cover. It would be dumb luck if the goblins hadn't seen them. Minutes felt like hours as they waited for the fight to come to them, but it never did. Not turning from the direction of the cave, Lionel motioned for them to continue retreating. They stayed vigilant as they backtracked a few yards downstream before clustering together to discuss a plan of action.
"They will probably be strong," Uden commented. "The demon suspected we were coming."
"That is fairly obvious," Azure shot back in annoyance. "If they didn't see us, we'll still have a chance to analyze them before we engage them," Lionel said.
"But only before we immediately engage them," the half-imp pointed out.
"Whatever the case, we're 3 against 2, and we have ranged weapons. From what I could see, they do not. We should be fine," Lionel assured them.
"I'll go first with my bow, since it has the longest range. As they get closer, Uden can attack with his throwing knives. Lionel, you can jump in when they get within close range. If we haven't killed one by then, they should at least be weakened," Azure suggested.
"That sounds like a solid plan,"
Lionel nodded before glancing over at his brother.
"You will hear no complaints from me,"
Udin held up his hands in surrender. It was as if he thought they had expected him to argue. To some degree, Azure had. The half-imp had been full of nothing but stupid decisions and a need to take control these past few weeks. Hopefully, he would stick to the plan this time.
"Are you guys ready to do this?"
Lionel inhaled a deep breath.
"I was born ready."
Udin spun his throwing knives in his hands, a bloodthirsty grin spreading his lips.
"You enjoy this way too much."
Azure raised an eyebrow at him.
"Go on, we're waiting on you."
Udin gestured impatiently for him to ready his bow.
"How many yards away are they, would you estimate?"
Azure asked as he knocked an arrow.
"A little over 100 yards, Lionel informed him. "I'll have to get closer to make any type of impactful blow,"
he said, more to himself than anyone else. That means the goblins would have a chance to come at him, clearing some distance.
"We've got this, brother."
Lionel clapped him on the shoulder.
"Stop dawdling, we don't have all day."
Udin tapped his foot impatiently. Azure cast a disdainful side eye at the half-imp before heading towards the cave. His steps were hurried with the urgency to get the deed done, but he knew he couldn't let adrenaline rule him. He had to think strategically because he had a finite amount of arrows and didn't know how many levels deep the dungeon went down. It was something they had discussed in length during their journey. Lionel had told him that dungeons could be up to 10 levels deep. Strong bosses always had 10 levels. Weak bosses could have less, but it also wasn't uncommon for them to have 10 as well, just with less powerful monsters along the way. Really, it was a crapshoot. There was no way to tell until you descended. Azure had burned through all of the extra bronze arrows that Lionel had brought with them when he was hunting. Now only the 15 bronze arrows of minor light magic remained. If he divided them by level, he could afford to use only 1 or 2 per level. Inside the cave, close range would likely be the most effective way to fight. He wanted to save at least 5 arrows for the Dark One. For this particular task of vanquishing the goblin guards, he needed to use his bow. It pained him to waste the magic arrows on foes that he wouldn't gain a bonus on, but there was no other choice. In hindsight, he probably should have let Udin do some of the hunting instead of being so obsessed with trying to level up. He had felt the anxiety when he started running low on regular arrows. But he also hadn't imagined that there would be goblins waiting outside of the cave entrance for them. Azure rounded the bend, quickening his pace as he raised his bow. The goblins spotted him instantly, one drawing a long sword, while the other straightened himself and gripped the halberd he had been supporting his weight on. Lionel had been right. The goblins were big. Both analyzed as yellow, challenging opponents. They readied their weapons, but to Azure's surprise, they didn't leave the mouth of the cave. He continued to approach, waiting until he was in range before letting his first arrow sail at the goblin with the longsword. The arrow would have hit its mark in the center of the goblin's chest, had he not held his sword out in front of him like a makeshift shield and deflected it.
"Watch out!"
Lionel called to him. But Azure had no idea what it was he was watching out for, until he heard the whoosh of an arrow whizzing by his head and felt the sting of an arrowhead grazing his shoulder. A quick upward glance revealed a goblin archer at the top of the cliff.
"Clever goblinses,"
Azure thought before realizing what a shitty situation he was in. The archer on the cliff had the advantage. He was too high up for Azure to reach with much accuracy. Noticing his distraction, the goblin warriors finally moved forward to attack. Azure thought to draw them further out, but he doubted he could get them to go outside of the archer's range. His mind swam with indecision, wondering what he should do.
"Cover us!"
Udin passed Azure on the right, practically a blur in his peripheral vision. Lionel was right behind him, staff raised.
Well, there goes Udin acting on his own again. I guess it can't be helped this time, though.
Azure turned his attention back up to the archer. It loosed another arrow at him that he was easily able to dodge, possibly because it seemed distracted by the new attackers. The next time it knocked, it aimed for Lionel. Clearly it no longer saw Azure as a threat. While he was unsure of his ability to hit the archer, He knocked an arrow and aimed at it anyway. It had been understood by Uden's words that this was now his job, protecting them from downward fire, which was much easier said than done. There was still that dreadful idea of wasting the magical arrows, but what other choice did he have? Aiming the best he could, he loosed an arrow at the archer. It hit the side of the cliff about 2 feet short of the top and splintered into pieces. The archer merely scowled at him before returning its attention to the foes engaged in close combat. What was even more infuriating was that the goblin analyzed as blue, so if they were face to face, Azure would definitely win. The word coward flashed across his mind, but it was quickly replaced by strategic planning. The Dark One was protecting his dungeon well. The low-level archer was practically untouchable, guarding from above, while the warriors took care of any threats that may try to slip past on ground level. If he was being honest, he was more upset that they hadn't come up with the idea to double back, scale up the side of the cliff, and simply snipe both of the goblin guards. Though there was no guarantee that would have worked either. The goblins always could have just retreated into the safety of the cave. "Shit," he muttered as he watched the archer knock another arrow and take aim for Uden. The two brothers seemed to barely be holding their own. Lionel was mostly defending against the goblin with the longsword, while Uden kept the halberdier distracted and dashed in to take a cheap shot at the swordsman's backside whenever he could. He had positioned himself between the two goblins, which was a dangerous place to be. Thankfully, the one that was busy fighting Lionel was too stupid to think of the same backhanded tactics that the half-imp was resorting to try to turn the odds in their favor. Still, it wasn't working well enough, and it didn't take long for Azure to realize that the brothers were outmatched. He was only one level below them now, which meant there was a decent chance that the goblins had analyzed his yellow to them. He needed to think fast, or they were going to lose. There was no time to distract the archer. If it weren't for Uden stepping to the side to avoid a blow from the halberd, the arrow would have hit its mark, penetrating the half-imp's head and putting an end to him. He sliced Azure with his gaze, shouting out, "Fuck's sake, man!" Giving up on fending off the archer, Azure moved out of its range, backing away towards the river. With his speed, Uten seemed to be doing better against the goblin he was facing, so Azure turned his attention to the swordsman. He knocked an arrow and concentrated his aim. It was a dangerous shot to take. If the goblin moved at just the right moment, there was a fair chance he would hit Lionel. But Azure felt more confident in his abilities with the bow at a safe distance from the archer than he would with the distraction of the possibility of being sniped down from above. He held his breath before letting the arrow sail. By a stroke of luck, it hit the back of the goblin's neck, the arrowhead piercing all the way through to the front of its throat. A spray of blood and light gushed forth from the wound, and the swordsman gurgled in shock. The distraction was all that was needed for Lionel to finish the goblin off with his staff. Defeated level 7 goblin warrior, 56 XP rewarded. With the swordsman out of the way, Lionel went to help his brother. Azure thought to try shooting the halberdier as well, but with both brothers on it, it was too risky. Instead, he drew his sword and rushed in to join the melee, effectively surrounding the last remaining goblin warrior. It glanced up at the archer as if asking for help, then swung its halberd in a wide arch to keep its attackers at bay. Just as the three adventurers were about to set in on the goblin for the kill, a pained cry rose up from the fray. Panic took over Uden's expression as he saw the arrow sticking out of Lionel's back, and sickness roiled in Azure's stomach as he realized he had failed at the only job they had given him. More importantly, his friend had been injured, his health bar cut by a good 20%. If the archer had been a higher level, it might have been a kill shot. Distracted by Lionel's injury, Azure barely saw the halberdier plunge his halberd forward. He dodged, but not quick enough to avoid a glancing blow to his side. A hiss of pain escaped his lips as he felt the weapon slice into him, his own health bar falling to about equal what Lionel had lost. Just as the archer had done less damage from being a lower level, even though that normally would have been a critical shot, the warrior did more damage from its glancing blow for being a higher level. "You are bleeding. You will lose 5 health every second for the next 5 seconds. Oh, shit, Uden cursed, barely avoiding being shot by another incoming arrow.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?